91.3 KXCI Tucson. Real people, real radio. Good afternoon, Tucson. We hope you're having a wonderful Sunday, and thanks for joining us today at 91.3 KXCI Tucson. This is Kathy Harris with my co-host, Aspen Green, and we're bringing you Broad Perspectives Radio, a program by women, about women, but for everyone. You can hear more of our programs on our Broad Perspectives Radio page at kxci.org. And today, we're delighted to have two guests, Brittany Guerrero and Cassandra Wenzel-Kane, who are dedicated to community gardens of Tucson. You know, I have to admit, I'm not a gardener myself, but I see these community gardens around all the time, and I certainly appreciate them. But I don't know anything about how many there are or who runs them. I never really thought about it. So I'm really looking forward to hearing about this. So, Aspen, tell us about our guest and this important organization.
I sure will. So we have with us Brittany Guerrero, and she's the organization's first executive director. She has more than a decade of nonprofit experience and joined Community Gardens of Tucson, CGT, in 2021. She is a Northern Arizona University graduate with a bachelor's degree in sustainable community development. She has been instrumental in evolving CGT into the thriving, connected, community-driven, well integrated and inclusive community resource that it is today. With a passion for gardening, Brittany is committed to creating a resilient local food shed and ensuring that community members have access to healthy food options. We also have with us Cassandra Wenzel-Kane, and she is a Midwest transplant to Tucson who has been active in sustainable lifestyles here for 30 years. Relocating to the Sonoran Desert was transformational and eye-opening for her, understanding the importance of water and land stewardship and her commitment to serving Community Gardens of Tucson as a board vice chair. She's a retired teacher and curriculum development manager who is actively a writer, poet, artist, healing arts practitioner, and a 500 CYT yoga instructor. Welcome to our show, both of you.
Thanks for having us. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
So I'm a gardening enthusiast, so I'm really, really excited to hearing more about this. So Brittany, we'll start with you. You have your degree in sustainable community development. For those of us that might be unfamiliar with that term, can you explain what that is?
Oh, absolutely. So sustainable community development focuses on fostering communities that thrive economically, socially, and environmentally while being mindful of long-term sustainability. It's about building resilience in communities so that they can adapt to changes and challenges while improving quality of life. I would say community gardens really exemplify sustainable community development by promoting local food production, by enhancing social connections and fostering environmental stewardship.
Okay. And Cass, you say you have been active in sustainable lifestyles here for 30 years. What specifically are you talking about?
Right. When I and my husband moved here from Minneapolis, our work there for years was in environmental policy. We worked with Clean Water Action in the early 90s. And so coming here, we've just done everything that we possibly can to decrease our own carbon footprint as much as possible in our lives. So, you know, Mike's at Technicians for Sustainability. So, of course, we have solar power. We have our hot water at our house is solar heated. We have rainwater harvesting cisterns, and we've landscaped to utilize all the rain garden practices that we know. And then we, of course, garden to grow a portion of our organic produce, and we purchase as locally as possible. We drive a hybrid car and an e-bike and repurpose and reuse resources in our home expansions and repairs and improvements. But obviously, it's bigger than that. And working with this amazing community of gardeners, just to constantly be learning and to constantly be improving the ways that we engage with the earth and through knowledge that we can share in a community setting. So the gardens are really important.
And for me, as a, a former Community Gardens of Tucson plot renter. I was in the GD2 garden on Bell Avenue. I'm really happy to learn more about this organization. When I moved from one place that I had a big garden at to a place that I wasn't able to have a garden, I got really depressed. And so a couple of friends of mine who were in this garden said, you need to get a plot in this garden. There's one open. Come on down. So I did. It really changed my life. It really got me back on track. I was able to grow my own food again, which is really important to me. Let's start with a little bit about both of you and your role in the community gardens. Sure. Let's start with you, Brittany, and then we'll go to you, Cass. What is your role as the executive director?
As the executive director for the community gardens, my role involves wearing a lot of different hats, as you might imagine. I'm responsible for managing the organization's day-to-day operations and overseeing a wide range of activities, but this includes things like fund development, volunteer coordination, project management, and partnerships. And I also manage our staff and contractors, just ensuring that everyone is working in alignment towards our goals.
Okay. And you, Cass, what is your role?
So there's not a lot of paid employees at CGT. The vast majority of us are actually organizational volunteers. And my role, I volunteer as a board member, as a board vice chair, and as a co-chair for the fundraising and outreach committee. My primary roles is really just helping us to build partnerships and connection within the broader community, and then helping to create opportunities to contribute funds and resources back into the gardens.
So like with all organizations, there's always a vision, a mission, and with you guys, with values. Maybe you can discuss that with us a little bit.
Sure. Our vision is really to create a stronger, healthier, and more vibrant Tucson through our community gardens and partnerships. And our mission is truly to build community gardens where Tucsonans grow food, work and learn together, and nurture well-being in our communities.
So we implement our vision and our mission through six primary core values, and that's that everyone is welcome, that we are absolutely better together, that we're always learning, and we're dedicated to sustaining the environment, to creating food resiliency, and to sharing cultures and traditions from generation to generation.
You know, I was doing a little bit of my research and I was reading about the history of the gardens, and I should have realized, of course, George Brookbank was involved. I mean, who hasn't taken a class from him who's been involved in gardening in Tucson? He's an icon. And then Darlene Schacht, who I know recently passed away.
I was wondering if you wanted to mention anything about George and Darlene, about their part in creating these community gardens.
Absolutely. I mean, George Brookbank and Darlene Schacht were instrumental in establishing the foundations of community gardens. They were really well known for their hands-on approach, frequently visiting the gardens to educate and assist gardeners with just practical advice. And their dedication helped shape the community garden movement in Tucson in a lot of ways. By offering valuable workshops and their inclusive approach really fostered a sense of collaboration among community members in these garden spaces. Their contributions really laid the groundwork for what we are today. We're a community-led organization that is a little over 30 years from its inception, and it continues to thrive with a network of, you know, now 20 community gardens throughout Tucson.
I know. I just recently moved and unpacked a couple of book boxes that I hadn't unpacked in several years. And what do you know? There was a couple of George's books. I was like, oh, that makes me so happy.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
I know. What have you learned from desert farming practices of the indigenous peoples? And how does that show up in your gardens?
That shows up in our gardens in so many ways. Like even on our website and on all of our meetings that we have, we're acknowledging that the lands on which we garden are the traditional ancestral and unceded territories of the Hohokam and the Tohono O'odham and the Pasquayaki peoples who've been living and farming on this land for thousands of years. So we're really grateful to learn from the desert farming practices that the indigenous peoples have developed through the centuries.
Absolutely. And those farming practices really teach us about the importance of water conservation and soil management and crop selection that's really suited for the Southwest for arid conditions, and techniques such as using mulch to retain soil moisture, planting drought-resistant crops and creating microenvironments to protect plants sort of from these harsher conditions. They're all really integral to gardening in Tucson.
Do you have any connection with Mission Gardens? Because I know they have similar goals.
We do. We have some partnerships that we've definitely done with them. I'm currently involved with the program at our gardens through AmeriCorps as well, and did some volunteer work at Mission Gardens just last week. Plants that grow well here are the grandchildren of plants that have always grown here. So they have pomegranate descendants from gardens 500 years old. We're constantly partnering and learning and continuing to expand our knowledge of specifically how to steward the desert by ensuring that our gardens are really well adapted to the local climate, and they're really helpful with that.
So we take our site coordinators to different locations to learn about different gardens and different methods. I think sometime earlier this year, we toured all of our site coordinators at Mission Gardens. So that was a really wonderful experience for everyone to come and learn about what they do and what they're working on.
So talk to me about site coordinators. What are the responsibilities of this person?
Every garden has its unique way of doing things, but many of our gardens are led by a committee with one person serving as the site coordinator. And this site coordinator is responsible for organizing and managing the committee's efforts, ensuring that everyone is sort of working together effectively in the garden. Their duties include overseeing day-to-day garden activities, organizing garden meetings and work days, touring new gardeners, and addressing issues when they come up, such as a need for a repair. This leadership model really ensures that the gardens are community-led, and it's empowering gardeners and community members to take an active role in shaping their garden spaces. It really allows them to address the unique needs of their specific communities by fostering a sense of, you know, ownership and collaboration in those spaces.
You know, when I was part of the gardens, what I really loved was that everybody who was there at the time, that was so helpful. And if people had extra soil or extra mulch, they left it there. There was tools in a tool shed. There was people that you could ask questions to. When people had too much growth in their garden, they would share their vegetables and plants with us. So it really did have a real feel of community. Talk to me more about what the garden does to benefit the community. Like, what are the benefits to the environment? What are the benefits to community health?
That's a really great question, too. So growing a portion of your own healthy, nutritious, organic food, that absolutely helps everybody. But working in a garden also provides moderate exercise, and it creates connection and friendship to your neighbors. Gardening, it relieves stress, it burns calories, it gets you some vitamin D. You know, it also cultivates mindfulness and biological regulation because you're connecting to the seasons, so that can improve cognition. It boosts our immunity, it beautifies the neighborhood. Practices within the garden, if we're composting and reducing waste that's going to the landfills, that's going to help us build a living soil. The plants that we garden in our different environments are improving the air quality, they're reducing air pollution, they're providing food for ourselves and pollinators. Community gardens foster the connection that you were talking about, and, you know, the individual people. But we're also sharing resources and reducing our carbon footprint. So like where you were talking about the shed where all the tools are, by us providing that to those gardeners, then that decreases people having to purchase all those tools for themselves, which is an increase in our carbon footprint. So we encourage all of those types of practices in our garden seed swaps and our plant sharing and start sharing and people learning together. But it goes beyond that. And it goes to this concept of really a holistic and healthier lifestyle when, I mean, some of the gardens are sharing in potlucks and creating community outside the home or work environment. That's called a third space investment, that you have this sense of identity and self and benefit to you, a connection to the community outside of you. They're doing research now that it might be the blue zone connector. Like, you know, the blue zones where people live for such a long time. They're always looking for what it is because they do eat different food and they do live in different climates, but almost all of them garden. We're learning more on a daily basis about how beneficial gardening is to yourself and your community. Yeah.
It does help my mental state, that is for sure. So we're going to take a music break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the Kids in Gardens program. And we'll also talk about your upcoming annual fall fundraiser.
I think music goes naturally with this topic today. And as a matter of fact, the song that you two have chosen is called Green Garden, which seems like an appropriate song. Does one of you want to tell us why you chose the song?
We didn't know music was going to be a part of the interview, actually. I've listened to your show so many times. I always thought you guys picked the music. So that's our first thing. We searched for songs about gardens, and so many songs about gardens are referencing a garden indirectly. And this song was really the beat of it, the rhythm of it, and the beautiful voice of the woman singing just really engaged with where a garden can take you. So she starts out by going, yeah, I'm going to go to the garden. And she ends up flying on the wings of a butterfly. It's just that non-determinate space that a garden can offer you new opportunities in your perspective. And it's a great place to go to reset and just feel better about the world. So that's how the song really resonated with us.
Yeah, it resonated with us too. It's beautiful. And the singer is so beautiful. Somebody that I haven't heard before. Her name is Laura Mvula. She's a British singer and a native of Birmingham, England. After she released the song Green Garden as a single, it was released on her debut studio album, Sing to the Moon, in 2013. Paul Lester from The Guardian described Laura's music as gospel-delia, calling it a new musical genre. She said it's an elegy to her old home in King's Heath, Birmingham, where she and her family moved from Selly Park. Laura said to the Birmingham Post, "When we moved to our new house, for us kids, it was a huge, huge big deal to have trees in the back garden. Where we had lived in Selly Park, the back garden was more concrete than grass, so it felt like we were in a forest. Some of my happiest memories are of endless summer holidays where it seems like we spent most of our time in the garden, making up dance routines or having mammoth water fights. The song is a celebration of that." Well, how delightful. So let's listen to the song Green Garden by Laura Mvula. 91.3 KXCI Tucson. This is Kathy Harris with Aspen Green, and you're listening to Broad Perspectives Radio. And now we're returning to our interview with Brittany Guerrero and Cassandra Wenzel-Kane from Community Gardens of Tucson.
Well, that was absolutely the perfect song for this show. Thank you so much. You know, you brought up a memory of mine, you know, just the feel that you get from a garden. My friend Dre, who got me introduced into the garden, we used to just meet there on Sunday mornings just to have our coffee and chat. And our garden had chickens. So we used to go visit the chickens. It was just a very peaceful, wonderful place to be. So I know education is one of the Community Gardens of Tucson's core values. Do you still have the Kids in Gardens program?
Yes, that's a wonderful question. Out of the 20 gardens that we managed, we have 6 school gardens, and that's serving over 350 students from anywhere from kindergarten to 6th grade through our Kids in Gardens program. And this initiative offers hands-on learning about gardening and the environment by bringing students out of their classrooms and into these sort of vibrant garden spaces. The program covers a range of topics, including composting, vermicomposting, desert ecology, and food cultivation. Students engage in interactive activities such as scavenger hunts, journaling, planting, and harvesting foods. And the program pairs practical skills with a deep appreciation for nature and understanding of where food comes from.
Okay, that's a lot to learn. Boy, if I volunteered, I think I'd want to volunteer for that project. So this way I can benefit from all the learning the kids are getting. So I bet you're excited and busy planning for your annual fall fundraiser, Chili Festival at the Gregory School Garden, which is one of your gardens. And it's on Sunday, September 29th from 4 to 6 p.m. So what's going to be going on?
Fundraisers are something we started just 2 years ago. And this one's at the Gregory School Garden. Everyone, we've tried to feature one of our different gardens for people, raising awareness and just helping to build community there. So this is our 4th location to hold one of our fundraisers, and it's 2 hours long from 4 to 6, and it includes really great food using regional ingredients, and in this case, a lot of chili-inspired menu items. That'll be food and beverages. There's going to be live music. We're going to have speakers talking about various topics within the gardens. There's a farmer's market style selection. It'll be filled with local baked goods and honeys and ceramics and books and just a host of things from local makers. We're going to have Crooked Tooth beer there for the folks who are over 21. Red's Roasters will be there with us generously roasting mild, medium, and hot chilies from Hatch that'll be for sale. There's going to be a make-your-own salsa table with jars and lots of fresh and roasted ingredients. We're going to provide some coaching and some demos. There's going to be a live silent auction that's filled with local art, events, activities, memberships, gift baskets, lots of experiences, and all those things that you can bid on. But there's also just going to be a really wonderful community of great people having a fantastic time. So we want to see as many people from the community make it out as can make it out. Yeah.
It sounds like the place to be that day. That's for sure. You know, as all nonprofits, you're run by volunteers. And if our listeners are interested in sustainable food systems, gardening, or community development, give us a little idea of what the range of volunteer opportunities are available. And also tell us a little bit about your website on where they can sign up.
I suggest signing up for our newsletter, first of all, because that's free. It comes to your email every 2 months. It keeps you informed about all of our upcoming events and opportunities. And you can access the previous newsletters. There's some really great articles with information about gardens, the local community, ecosystem, educational opportunities, recipes, like so much more stuff. But you can also follow us on social media. We have an Instagram and a Facebook account, and all of our volunteer opportunities will be posted with the links right in there to sign up and a little description of what that experience might be like. And there's other great events with our gardeners and other gardening organizations. Our website also includes really great resources if you do want to garden at home. If it sounds overwhelming to be part of a community garden, we can still support you because we have planting guides and tons of information on healthy ways to deal with problems that come up in the garden and healthy ways to keep your garden productive. And we're expanding the website really soon to include a cookbook as well. So you'll be able to search by ingredient or by the type of meal you want to make, and you'll be able to access recipes from our gardeners.
Absolutely. Just volunteer-wise, you can participate in our volunteer work days where you'll have hands-on opportunities to contribute to our gardens and community projects. We also welcome those interested in taking on leadership roles through, of course, board membership or joining one of our garden steering committees. We're always looking for help with grant writing, graphic design, event planning, whatever your interests or expertise, there is a place for you to contribute and make a difference with CGT.
Okay. And what is the website?
Communitygardensoftucson.org.
Okay. Fantastic. Just going to say you also have a fabulous little store on there where you can buy t-shirts, hats, cups, all this kind of stuff to help support. And I can't express it enough, having had my garden there. If anybody doesn't have the option and the availability to have their own garden in Tucson, this is such a wonderful opportunity. And in some ways, better than doing your own garden because you have this community, you have help, you grow things in your garden. You can't grow everything, and somebody else is growing something else, and you all share. And I learned so much about the things they were growing and how to protect my garden. I'm just going to suggest anybody out there, look on your website, go see where the gardens are and take a peek because it's really fabulous. I love it. It really filled my heart the years that I was involved. I think we're out of time, unfortunately. That's always the story. We always run out of time way before I could ask so many other questions. But I'm so glad that so much information is on your website. So if anybody's interested, definitely go to the website because you can find out more about the sponsors, the partnerships. There's a planting guide. There's resources. There's so much more. And also it lists all the different gardens. So thank you, ladies, for being on our show.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having us.
Well, and unfortunately, that is all the time we have for today. But Brittany Guerrero and Cassandra Wenzel-Cani, thanks to both of you so much for being here today and talking about this important resource for all of us here in Tucson, Community Gardens of Tucson. The work you do is so appreciated by so many. And thanks to all of you out there for joining us today at 91.3 KXCI Broad Perspectives Radio. You can hear more of our programs on our Broad Perspectives Radio page at kxci.org. And for now, stay tuned because next up we have Boom Goddess Radio. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday and we'll see you next week.